Hi, Zion. It is Pastor Joe. And I know we canceled our Zion and Petroleum Valley gathering today, but we had the live stream through Zion homepage on Facebook. But the message that I was going to bring has a little bit different take on it. And, you know, when you prepare a message and you don't get to do it, it's like getting a sneeze stuck. You got to get it out. And so we always upload our messages anyway to our Zion Life website. And so I thought I'd just record the message and send it to the website. And you can listen to it if you like. Well, as we get into habits, let me just add this one little caveat. I'm going to be getting into some somewhat adult themes here. And so this is not appropriate, I would say, to kids in elementary school. You can listen to it on your own and decide what you like. It's not vulgar, but again, you'll get it when we get onto it later on. So we're talking about uncluttering our lives, specifically of habits. And boy, those can be good or bad, can't they? Maybe there's a habit we've picked up over this era of COVID in 2020. And, you know, I still haven't picked up that mask habit. I don't know how many times I pull into the parking space and I'm halfway to the store entrance and I forgot my mask. And I don't have that habit yet. But other habits we might have picked up as well are thought processes. And so we can look at this also not just as decluttering our lives around Christmas, but almost as a New Year's resolution. Now, first of all, what is a habit? Now, in the New Testament, the word that is translated sometimes into habit is a Greek word called ethos, and it means a habit or a custom or a tradition. So, for example, in Hebrews 10:25, it says, there are those who neglect meeting together, as is their habit. But it also refers to like the ways of a country or the ways of a culture and or traditions, just what people tend to do. Merriam-Webster defines it as a settled tendency or usual manner of behavior. Now, habits can be good. You know, hey, flossing your teeth, that's a good habit. Or they can be bad, like speeding. They can be healthy or unhealthy. A habit can be socially acceptable or not acceptable. They can be moral or immoral or controlled or uncontrolled. But as I said, as we're talking about uncluttering, we're going to focus more on the bad habits and leaving them behind. Now, how do you know that you have one? One of the best tell signs of having a habit, especially an unhealthy one, is you try to stop it but fail. I've talked with folks who maybe have addictions or other bad habits, and they'll claim, oh, I could stop any time. It's like, well, then do so. And I don't want to. It's like, well, why don't you prove it? Why don't you prove it that this isn't a bad habit, that it doesn't have control over you? And if they do try to quit, then very often they'll come back and say, yeah, I'm stuck here. Another sign that you have one is you plan to accommodate your habit. So, for example, you always make sure you have your dental hygiene tools. You always have your floss whenever you travel. Or you make plans to record your favorite show, or you just refuse to be away when it's on. Your mental health may be tied to your habit. You just don't feel happy. You don't feel right unless you exercise your habit. Maybe you feel your habit brings you luck. And sometimes these sound really good. I remember having people say to me, oh, I had such a bad day. Oh, I know why, because I didn't read my Bible this morning as my normal habit. It's like, well, that's great. I'm all for reading your Bible every day, but it's not a lucky charm. Your habit then can also cost you time, money, and it can harm relationships. That's a sign of a bad habit. And then finally, if you suffer withdrawals, those are all signs. Well, what does the Bible say? So those are kind of mental health issues of habits, but we want to look at what the scriptures say here. I was looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, and we're going to be at a couple passages in 1 Corinthians. where it says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. I'm in verse 12. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything. Now, the context of this passage, Paul is talking about is sexual immorality. And he may be actually quoting them from a letter he received from this church. So when it says, all things are lawful for me, that's the Corinthians quote. And Paul says, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be dominated by anything is his issue. Now, we have to ask, when we're talking about these things that are lawful or helpful, are they moral? Is this an obvious sin? It's nice to label habits as, well, it's just a bad habit I have. You know, it's just who I am. And we make excuses for habits like that. But we have to ask, is it an obvious sin? Now, it could be an issue of greed or gluttony or gossip, anger, sexual immorality, especially pornography, idolatry, which is replacing God, or drunkenness and addictions. And these often include some mental health issues. We understand that, but they're still harmful. Now, here's where I'm going to get on my soapbox a little bit in terms of habits, because it is so prevalent in our culture. And let me just be blunt and say that the majority of men look at porn regularly. It's true. Some people think married men are not immune. They are not. Not at all. Not in the least. It often starts as something that is light and goes hardcore. The classic example would be the Sports Illustrated swimsuit issue. And then that leads on to looking on more harder or more profound things. And so some guys will say, well, I might be looking at this, but I'm never going to look at this other stuff. Maybe it's more disgusting. Maybe it's child porn. But later what they find out is they do. And there is this law, especially when it comes to pornography. It's called the law of diminishing returns. And it's very, very common where a man, and more women are actually getting into pornography as well. But it only satisfies for so long. And then you have to go on to something harder core. And so it is almost always done. And so it become, you know, a man will need harder stuff. He'll need to spend more and more time and effort, maybe even money, on this habit. And there's a few things I want to say. First of all, guys, you're not alone. One of the most popular books on this topic is Every Man's Battle. And I think that is the most aptly named book around, because every man battles it. Yes, most are involved with it on a regular basis. If a man ever tells me he's not attracted to it at all, I think he's lying. Maybe there are guys that like that, but guys, you're not alone. This is a very difficult thing, but I want you to know it can be beat, but you can't treat this casually. You can't just will this on your own in your own self-control. Guys, this addiction it'll harm your relationships. It can harm your employment and even your health. You think, well, how is that? Well, because a lot of guys will be watching porn from, you know, 2-3 in the morning, and then they're getting up and going to work, and they're not able to drive or think well. But underneath all this, why is this such an issue? It is because it degrades women, and this is fundamental to the creation. Guys, women are created in the image of God, just like we are. And so that is really the underlying problem with it. In fact, the attitude starts with a low and unbiblical view from women. And ladies, I need you to understand something. And I'm not trying to justify anything. So I am fully assured and committed and want you to know that this is a very wrong thing. It's a grievous thing. And I can understand how it would hurt a wife or a girlfriend or engaged or a mom, or I could get how it would hurt you and how you could take it personally. But I want you to know that even though it feels personal, that's the point. It's not personal. It's these women, especially involved in pornography, whether it is a just a photo or it is a video. I want you to know it is not an issue of being personal. That's the point. It is they're things. These women are things in these mediums. It starts with a very low and unbiblical view of women. And here's what we all need to understand. We're groomed this way. We are taught as little boys that women have no value from our culture. And I'll give you some quick examples, even just from television and entertainment. I grew up watching Hogan's Heroes and Gilligan's Island. Hey, these are great, fun shows, but if you look at them a little bit deeper of how they treat women, women were treated as just things. And we are bombarded with this, and pornography has gotten more and more easily acceptable. It was hard for my dad, it was harder for me, and it's harder for my son to resist this because of how easy it is to get to. Again, ladies, I get your feelings, but it really do. It makes sense. But your guy's got to get your support. He's got to know that why, sure, you're disappointed. You're going to help him. You're going to do whatever it takes and understand the issue. And I would be proud of him if he wants to make a step away from this habit. All right. And so we're going to deal with some practical things today. Going to go fairly quickly, but I'm going to come off the soapbox now, but just to and finally say, guys, if there's an issue with that and you need help, I'd be the first one. I'd be happy to talk to you or someone else. All right. So it's getting back to this verse Paul is dealing with about all things are lawful. He's not speaking of these things of habits per se, but it can't apply to habitual sins, and we want to call them out as much. Now, there are some things, he says, not everything's bad. I mean, some things are kind of neutral. Habits, we're talking about habits and not things that we may do or fall into periodically. Let me give you some examples, and there might be a little disagreement on this, but there are things that are questionable. Maybe not in your mind, but I got to tell you what the scriptures say. For example, let me mention smoking. I think smoking is clearly unhealthy. However, scripture doesn't talk about it. It didn't exist. It wasn't around there. So how do we call that right or wrong? Now, how about chewing your nails or watching too much television or being more involved with sports than you should or staying up too late, or getting so politically involved it's all you think about, or video games, or other games, or other entertainment. What about those things? Okay. Many activities are lawful. Scripture doesn't specifically mention them. They are debatable. Now, this isn't an out. This isn't an excuse. It's just a fact. However, Paul says, not everything's helpful. Not everything's helpful. This takes some discernment. On one hand, as I said, smoking is technically not a sin. But on the other hand, it is certainly not helpful. And it is certainly costly. I mean, that's $7 a pack? That's a lot of money. You smoke a pack a day, that's over $200 a month you're literally setting fire to. And people may do their habits, regardless of what they are. They may do them to find peace. It could be watching TV or shopping or having a drink or sleeping or even exercise. But when these things replace the Holy Spirit in our lives, they're not helpful or profitable. And Paul adds, look, I'm not going to be dominated by anything. Freedom in Christ means we can say no. We need to obey our flesh, need not obey our flesh, the world, or the devil. The only one we need to submit to is Jesus. Well, there's a big question. It's a small word, but a big question here. And that is how. How do we do this? Well, you got to confront the issue. 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us how we confront it. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape that you may be able to endure it. So let's break this down again. Remember, it's a battle. It's if you're not having a battle, then you probably don't have a habit, right? But this can apply to morally neutral or the things that are harmful or that are dominating us or just outright sinful habits, right? So what is Paul saying in 1 Corinthians 10:13? Well, first of all, no temptation is overcoming you that's not common to man. In other words, the temptations that you and I face are not unique. We are not special. You can never say, well, no one ever had to face that before. It's just not true, according to this verse. In fact, Zion did a series called The Seven Deadly Sins. And one of the reasons for that was to kind of to classify them and say, really? There's really only about seven. And we know that even Jesus faced the same temptations. Hebrews 4:15 says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. It says he was tempted in every respect. Like, do you mean Jesus was tempted sexually? Yeah. That's what it says. Do you mean he was tempted to be a glutton? Yeah. Do you mean he was tempted to be lazy? Yeah. Tempted in every respect, but without sin. And, you know, by the way, that tells us that temptation is not a sin. Giving into it is. All right, Paul goes on. He says, look, God is faithful. That temptation won't be too great. You can't say you're overwhelmed. Now, and then he'll provide a way of escape. He says, you know, do you need to physically leave? Do you need to be out of the room that you're in? Do you need to find something else to do? Do you need to get around people or think of something else? If you're tempted, go find something else to do to put your mind on it. And then, so this verse promises that we won't get pushed too hard. God is faithful and will provide the way of escape for us. Sometimes we don't take that way. But there's another passage that's helpful for us in dealing with our temptations. And I call this the rule of twos. And if you ever forget where this verse is, you can probably narrow it down. Because it's 2 Timothy 2, verse 22. 2 Timothy 2:22. He says, so flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. So the first command there is to flee. It means making no allowance for that habit or for that sin. Romans 13:14 says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. This takes humility, folks. This means we have to admit that we have a problem. And that's a good place to be when we're humble before the Lord. Don't put yourself in a situation where you can do your habit or your sin. Flee from those things. Guys, if you're struggling with porn, you need to make some strong decisions. You may need to have your computer locked out to where you could only use it when someone gives you a permission to do so. You may need to remove HBO or other things that are in your home if you cannot resist that. You may need to avoid a private situation when you're with someone of an opposite gender. If you're struggling with food and eating habits, don't buy Oreos. You know, you've already lost when you put them in the cart. And then you say, God, help me just to have two. flee from that. Maybe someday you'll be able to do that. But if it's causing you to stumble every time, then you got to take desperate measures. I remember being challenged when I was on a trip all by myself, and I was told, hey, just get the television. And I know guys have done this where they take the television in their hotel room and they just remove it, or they ask the hotel to do it. It sounds crazy to people, but flee this thing. Don't be in that place where your habit is accommodated or if it's triggered. And with that, you got to be careful when you find yourself stressed, your defenses are down or under pressure, or you're depressed or you're lonely or angry. Our defenses are down at those times, and we need to make sure that we say, hey, I'm not feeling 100% here, and to take extra precautions. Well, flee was just part of it. The other part of that verse besides flee is to pursue. These both go hand in hand. You flee those lusts, you flee those habits, and then you pursue other things. And Paul lists some pretty heavy words. He says, look, pursue faith, love, and peace. This is good, fulfilling stuff. So, like, for example, good habits. Add good habits in there. Do some Bible reading. That's pursuing righteousness and building your faith and learning about love. How about just simply turning to prayer, praying out loud to God? How about being with other believers? We are so private. We are so secret. We have to hopefully have those two, maybe three people to whom we can confide and say, I'm having a rough time right now. Or worship. Worship, of course, can find its expression in song. But looking at the Psalms themselves, Psalm 103, where it talks about all the works of the Lord and focusing on those are things to meditate on and fill our hearts with. How about being involved with service or ministry? We get focused, oh, I need to get this done for the kids, or I need to be prepared for this message or lesson or D group. Folks, those are great pursuits where we can have our minds distracted by other things. And you know, another one is the idea of Sabbath. Taking that time to enjoy the Lord. Listen to God's people. Put your phone down. And you know, Paul said we do these things, we pursue these things along with those who call on the Lord. Those who call on Jesus, we need each other for this. And to open our lives, it doesn't mean you got to stand up front and confess every sin to the entire church. But boy, we got to have those confidences I mentioned earlier. This, folks, is the key aspect of the church, of having those folks that we can trust. We pray, we support, we check on. Sometimes we rebuke and love one another. But be transparent with just a few. You know, as I finish off here, let me just say a few reminders about sin, whether it's a habit or just a temptation. But remember this, sin always lies. It always lies. It will mix a lot of truth. Just ask Eve, just ask Adam. There'll be some truth mixed in there. But it's a lie. And there are times, I'll be honest with you, I will be tempted. And I'll tell myself out loud, I'll say, Joe, that's a lie. That's a lie. And hearing my own voice say it means something. Sin never delivers on its promises. Oh, if I do this just one more time, I'll feel better. I'll feel some relief. I'll be able to rest. I'll be at peace. It never, ever does. It breaks its promise every time. And we keep falling for it. We keep getting hooked by the same bait. We got to understand that. It seems good at first, but it's a trap. You know, as an example, Proverbs 6:27 talks about a lot about adultery, actually, and sexual sin and so forth in several chapters in Proverbs. And so the context over that is sexual sin. But Solomon writes, can a man carry fire next to his chest and his clothes not be burned? You can't. It will burn you. Stop thinking, folks, we can resist these on our own and deal with them. Yes, there is great hope and victory. I'll warn you, I'll be honest, you may be facing an uphill battle the rest of your life, depending on the habit. But you know what? There's victory, too. There's victory, too. I've met person after person in my own self, my own story. And guys, I'll sit down and talk to you and tell you my own issues of addictions and how God has freed me. But I'm not done. I am not about to say, oh, I'm over that. Not at all. Well, Zion, I hope that brings you some hope. Let me pray with us now. Lord God, we ask that you would comfort our hearts. I know there may be people who are listening to this and they think, I stumble all the time. I keep stumbling. It just seems hopeless. I just hope no one finds out what I'm doing. God, I pray for that brother or that sister. I pray, Lord, that they would see the hope that is available. They would see the power that is available. Lord Jesus, you are the great redeemer. You are the one who breaks chains and bondage. You free us from slavery and from sin. Not just in a future sense, while we are grateful and look forward to that. But Lord, our redemption starts now. Our freedom starts now. We can say no to sin. We don't have to obey that old master. And God, I pray for people would have the humility to reach out to others, to call out to you and to your name and say, oh, help me. Thank you, Lord, for your promises. In your name, amen. Just a couple of reminders. We will have our Christmas Eve gathering at 6 p.m. Be talking a little bit about the humility of Christ, and we will do our Silent Night. We have an interesting and really neat rendition I think you'll enjoy, and just of worshiping and getting our hearts ready for the first Advent. For next Sunday, for the 27th, as I said earlier, we are not going to do the potluck part. Again, just a little extra caution for COVID issues. But I do want to see you. Again, it's the last Sunday I'm going to be able to see you for a couple months. So Zion, I hope you can come. We'll review a little bit of 2020. I'll preview a little bit of 2021 and also give you more about our sabbatical. Oh, and one more thing. Thank you, first of all, for all the donations we have received for the Veterans Center. You have until Christmas Eve to bring something more, and then we'll deliver that all on Christmas Day. Have a great day, Zion. Hope to see you soon.